I'm ready to hear what God's going to say. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, brother. I love you too. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm in agreement with Brother Barry, and I feel strongly led to say to you that the Lord is going to go even deeper than that chest, and He's going to heal broken hearts tonight. Jesus Christ will heal broken hearts tonight. He will. Isaiah chapter 42, please. Isaiah chapter 42. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. So glad that each and every one of you are here tonight. Good to see every one of you. Isaiah chapter 42. As we read this, please understand this is Almighty God the Father speaking. And He's speaking about His Son Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, that means look, fix your gaze. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. My servant, God the Father calls His Son, my servant. Jesus said when He came, I came not to be served, but to serve. The Son of God came to this earth and became a man. And He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The Father delights in the Son. Do you remember what God the Father said of His Son when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan? This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. And here's our text tonight. A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till He have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His law. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your presence here tonight. Thank You that You will not pass a single person by tonight. You have come to meet with every single one of us. Thank You that not one of us is here by accident. Not one of us is here by coincidence. You have brought us together tonight for such a time as this. And thank You, Father, for healing broken hearts tonight. I thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When revival comes to a bruised reed, He says here again in verse 3, a bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. Now, what is a bruised reed? What is smoking flax? Smoking flax is a smoldering wick. It's that wick in an old oil lantern that at one time was saturated with oil. It was on fire. It was burning brightly. It was burning hot. It was fulfilling its purpose. But something happens over time, and that wick begins to dry, and that flame begins to go down, and it begins to die. And a smoldering wick is a a wick where the flame is completely gone out. And there's a little smoke coming out, but that's all. And not even really much of an ember, just smoke. And the Bible says here that Jesus will not, He will not suffer it to be put out, is really what it means, literally. There's just smoke. It looks pretty useless. It looks pretty hopeless. Looks like it's gone past that point of return. You could pinch it with your finger and your thumb and snuff it out. And God says of His Son, He will not suffer that to be put out. If there is even a spark in your heart tonight. And you know how I know there is? Because you're here. Don't say, I don't even know if I have a spark anymore. I don't even know if I'm smoking. You're here. If you're here, there is hope. If you're here, there is hope. He will not suffer it to be put out. Now, under the Word of God, there is no book like the Bible. That's the Word of God. Amen. No book can be compared with the Bible. But next to the Bible, way under it, on the top of the other list, is a book called Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress was written many, many, many years ago by John Bunyan, who was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while in prison, the Spirit of God gave this man, John Bunyan, incredible revelation. Incredible revelation. And in Pilgrim's Progress, there is a part where Pilgrim, after meeting Evangelist, and Evangelist points him to Calvary, sends him on his way, and on his way to Calvary, before he gets to the cross, he meets up with Interpreter. Mr. Interpreter takes Pilgrim, and he takes him to a certain house. And they go in this house, and there are many, many different rooms in this house. One room they go into, there is a man in there sweeping the floor. And it's dirt's flying and dust has filled the air and the windows are shut and the doors are shut and he's sweeping away, working his little heart out. And Pilgrim says to Interpreter, what does this mean? He said, that's the works of the law, trying to get to heaven by the works of the law. And all he's doing is stirring up dust. And then someone comes into the room and pours water all over that floor, all over the room. And he said, what's that? And he said, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. There's another room. There are many rooms in this house. The other room I want to talk to you about tonight, just briefly, is a room where Interpreter leads Pilgrim in there. And as they go in the room, they see a fire in the wall. It's burning. It's burning bright. It's burning hot. But someone, this wicked, evil creature, is what he is pouring water on the flame. Pours a bucket of cold water on the flame and the flame dies out. Looks like it's gone. And all of a sudden it comes back. And he pours another cold water. This is discouragement. Whew. Flame dies down. Comes back. Hopelessness. Flames dies down. But then it comes back. Unbelief. Wound after wound. Water bucket after water bucket. Compromise. The cold water of compromise. It's going out. It comes back. Pilgrim says to Interpreter, what does this mean? He said, that's the devil. He hates for the fire to burn in the hearts of the saints. And he's doing everything he can to put it out. He said, why won't it go out? It looks like it dies and it comes back. Why won't it go out? He says, follow me to the other side of the wall. They go on the other side of the wall, and there is one pouring oil on the flame. Every time it goes down, he pours oil on the flame. Pilgrim says, who is that? That is Jesus. That is Jesus. A smoking flax. He will not suffer it to die. He will not suffer it to put out. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a smoking flax. Maybe you're a smoking flax tonight. You once burned hot for the Lord. You were full of joy for the Lord Jesus. You sang to Him. You couldn't help but tell others about Him. You couldn't wait to get in His Word. You couldn't wait to get to the house of God to lift your hands and worship the Lord. But something happened. Something happens over time. And the flame dies out and you begin to grow cold and you're just smoking. You know what Jesus wants to do to you tonight? Pick you up. He's gentle. He's humble in heart. Pick you up. Breathe His breath of life into you and fan that flame. And He will, if you will trust Him tonight. He will. That's a smoking flax. What is a bruised reed? A bruised reed shall he not break. Of course, these are metaphors. Jesus often spoke in parables. He often used metaphors. He took something natural that we can all see, taste, smell, touch, understand, to bring a spiritual truth. He's not talking just about a plant that He has compassion on. He's talking about you. He's talking about you tonight. What is a bruised reed? First in the natural, it's a plant. It's the tall, slender, green plant that grows in the marshes, in the wetlands, maybe along a creek or along a pond. And it stands tall and erect and pretty. And until the storm comes, a whirlwind comes, and you're walking by the reeds and you see one that's smashed, that's bent over. What happened? The whirlwind came, bent it in half. What happened? A deer ran through, stepped on it. A big old cow stepped on it. Something happened. But a bruised reed is this tall reed. Used to stand like this. Now it's bent over completely. Now it's just hanging on by. It's still alive. It's not dead. But it's hanging on by a thread. It's been bruised. It's been wounded. A bruised reed, He will not break. That is, He will not destroy. He will not allow it to be completely destroyed. A bruised reed, He will not break. A wounded reed. Who are the wounded? Who are the bruised reeds tonight? Are you a bruised reed? Who are the wounded? It's someone who's been wounded by betrayal. You've been betrayed. You've been betrayed by a spouse, perhaps. A husband was unfaithful. A wife was unfaithful. Folks, there is so much pain in this world. There's so much heartache. I can see it right now as I'm talking to you. My mind runs back to sitting, and I've said, Brother Barry's done the same, many, many times, sit in the same house with a broken-hearted man who's crying his eyes out. And I can see it as if it was just happened yesterday. A man sobbing his eyes out, saying, Brian, why? Why did God allow this? Why did she do that? I loved her. Why did she do that? And he's weeping, and he's wounded. And I look up, and I see a picture on the wall of their wedding. And they're happy. And they're embracing. And I see a picture of their daughters and their kids. And their faces are shining. And they're happy because mom and dad are together. And this blow comes of betrayal. This blow comes called divorce. And the children always get hurt. And now not only is the dad and the husband a bruised reed, but the little children are little bruised reeds. And they've been wounded. They've been damaged. They've been hurt. They're bruised. Bruised by betrayal. Bruised by unfaithfulness. It can happen from a close friend. You were close friends. David said, we went to the house of God together. We ate together. My own familiar friend. And it turned on you. A lot of times when you're down, you know what I love about your pastor? He's seen me down. And he loved me not the same, more. This man did. You can tell. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. A lot of pastors will see a guy that's broken, that perhaps has left ministry or failed, and there's a little gleamer, like, yeah. look down at you, a little bit condescending. Not this man. And not the Lord Jesus. You've been betrayed. You can be betrayed in the house of God, and it hurts. It hurts. It cuts. A wounded reed. For some, it's shattered dreams. Life's not turning out like you thought it was. You had high hopes, plans, ambitions, and it's just not turning out like you thought it was. For some, you know you've got the promise, and you've been praying for that healing for years now, and you've not received the fulfillment of the promise yet. And you get tired. You get weary. You get worn. You get wounded. You bruised reed. For some, it's a child that has gone astray. And oh, how that cuts the heart of a godly mom or daddy. You've loved them. You've preached to them. You've told them about Jesus. You've brought them to church. You've cried. You've pleaded. You've prayed. And they have chosen to go down a path of rebellion. They've chosen to go astray. Some of them have gone to a place, I don't want to hear it anymore. And there's even a break in your relationship with them. And it hurts. Your heart is breaking. The heart of the prodigal son's father was breaking. Breaking. Wounded. Wounded. You're a bruised reed. For some, perhaps this is the toughest of all. It's suffering the loss of a child. I cannot pretend to know that kind of pain. The loss of a child. You can't understand it. You can't make sense of it. You have cried till you can't cry anymore. You have asked why 10,000 times and you've gotten no answers. The loss of a spouse. I remember preaching a revival in Las Vegas. And this man, this godly old man. We spent a lot of time together during the day. And his precious wife, whom he loved so much. She was a Christian. She had gone on to be with Jesus. But he missed her so much. And he looked at me and he said, I hurt so bad. And he said, Brian, don't think I'm going to make it. Don't think I'm going to make it. He's wounded. He's bruised. That man that I was thinking of a while ago, crying with him after what his wife had done, looking at those pictures on the walls, had two beautiful daughters. And the older baby girl was in the car with his wife and his wife's new boyfriend. And they were in a car wreck. And now, not only did his wife leave him, but his baby girl was killed. He's wounded. How much pain can a man take and endure? He's a bruised reed. He's a bruised reed. Some of you are bruised reeds. Some of you tonight, you're a bruised reed, but you say it's not because of any of those things you mentioned. Can't relate really with any of that. But you know where your wound came from? Your own personal choices. Let's be honest. You brought it on yourself. My own sin failure. I failed. I've fallen. Perhaps you are one who chose to take that first hit. And you were hooked. And there's a second and a third and a fourth till now. Or the first drink. And now you're an addict. Now you're an alcoholic. You clicked on that website one time. And then another. And then another. And you're hooked. And sin has taken you farther than you ever really wanted to go. And you're doing things now that you never dreamed that you had ever done before. Because sin is never satisfied. And it will kill you. It will destroy you. It will take you further into darkness than you ever dreamed you would go. And you're honest, you say, yeah, I did it to myself. Is there any hope for me? Is there any mercy for me? Sometimes a person gets to that point, you've tried counselors, you've tried rehab, you've tried everything in the world, and you've done nothing but go down, 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 down to the point where you're numb. You're numb. You're hopeless. That's where you feel. You're a bruised reed. Is there any hope for a bruised reed? Some of you have failed in your calling. You failed in your calling. God's given you a gift, perhaps. You used to use it. Through failure, you've gotten so discouraged. Like Peter, you say, I'm just going to go fishing. Am I going to die a castaway? Is God finished with me? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for a bruised reed or smoking flax? I'll tell you, from man's perspective, there's no hope. That's the truth. And the world loves to smash bruised reeds and kick them while they're down. The world loves to laugh at the smoking wick, especially the one that used to preach Jesus, and snuff them out. In fact, even a lot of the church doesn't like the smoking wick. Because they're always talking about their pain and their grief. When are they going to get over it? They smash you while you're down. From man's perspective, there's no hope. I mean, who wants a bruised reed? Not only is a bruised reed wounded and weakened, where it can't lift itself up again, but it's really totally worthless from man's perspective. I mean, even a little 1 cent copper penny, if it's on the sidewalk, penny is almost worthless, right? What can you buy with a penny anymore? But even a 1 cent almost worthless penny on the sidewalk, many will walk by, someone will stop and pick that up and take it home. No one goes around picking up bruised reeds. No one goes down to the marsh and says, I wonder if I can find a bruised reed to take home. Wounded and worthless. No one picks up a bruised reed except for one that I know. He not only just stumbles on them, he goes to seek to find them. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ will leave the 99 and he will go to find that one little lost lamb that left the flock. And no matter how dirty it is and how wounded it is and how lost it is, when he finds it, he touches it. He picks it up, he puts it on his shoulder, and he comes back to the flock rejoicing. And the Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing over that one little lost lamb that was lost from the flock. That's our Savior. Is there hope for you, bruised reed? Is there hope for you, smoking flax? There is, because there's a God in heaven who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's our God. That's our Savior. That's my Jesus. He goes to look for them. Listen to what it says of him, what he says of himself. He doesn't just stop with not breaking the bruised reed. He goes on to make promise after promise after promise after promise in his word to the bruised reeds. Psalm 34 verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. People may avoid you, but the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He never despises the broken. He never despises the wounded. He never turns such away. You may be despised by the world, but you're loved by God. Psalm 147 verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus, the first message that he preached when he began his public ministry, the very first message that he proclaimed, he stood in that synagogue, he unrolled the scroll to Isaiah chapter 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That's his message. "To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I want you to know, if you're bruised, read tonight, that Jesus Christ has not abandoned you. He's not forsaken you. And he's not forgotten you. "I will never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you." He is master at restoration. He is master at healing. He is master at reviving. He is master at bringing to life again the bruised and the broken. Now, how does he do it? As we said last night, he moves the mountain, but he does so with your cooperation. How does he heal the brokenhearted? How does he heal and revive this bruised reed? Here's one way he does it. Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is a picture of a bruised reed revived. Psalm 77. You can turn there if you'd like. He says in verse 1, "I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak." There's this bruised reed, a man or a woman, in this case a man, but it applies to anybody here who is a bruised reed tonight who can relate with this. "I can't even sleep at night, God. I'm under such torment. I'm hurting so bad. I cannot sleep. I don't even know what to pray anymore." Have you ever been to that place? "I don't even know what to pray anymore. All I can say is Jesus. Or all I can let out is a groan. I'm too troubled to speak." Verse 5. "I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search." He's saying, I remember the good old days. I remember when I used to laugh. I remember when I used to sing. I remember when things used to be good. But this pit that I'm in now, will I ever, ever get out? And then he begins to sink into doubt and absolute despair. Verse 7. "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever?" And what about this one? "Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Folks, that's a man that's sinking. That's a man that's sinking in despair. He is bruised and he cannot lift himself up. But he can do one thing. He can make a choice. And this man made a choice. And for you to be revived, bruised reeds, you must make this choice. What choice did he make? Verse 10. "And I said, this is my anguish." King James says, "This is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples." He's praising. He's praising. He's singing. He's lifting his eyes now. He made a choice. It's a simple choice. It's not easy, but it's a simple choice. In verse 10, this whole man's life turned around. In verse 10, This sinking, despairing, bruised reed begins to be revived. What changed? He made a choice. Here's choice number one. Choice number one, be honest. Be honest. Where do you see that? First thing he said, and I said, this is my anguish. He's not pretending. You get to a place, you know, you can smile outside, but outside you try to put up a fake smile, but there's tears in your heart. Might as well say, I'm broken. I'm hurting. And especially, you don't have to tell everybody that, but you must tell God that. He knows everything anyway. You know, not long ago, I went a long time without preaching. It was the first time to preach again in a long time. And I went to go to that pulpit that day. No, it was before that day. It happened that day too. But before, it was Saturday and preparing. And the preparation time was so sweet, being in the presence of the Lord. But then as I began to think about preaching, fear came all over me. I was trying to have courage. I was trying to pretend like I wasn't afraid. And I was walking and it hit me. You're not going to fool God. God sees everything. God knows everything. And you know what I did? I said, God, I'm scared. I said it. I am scared. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of preaching in the flesh. I'm afraid of preaching and my words just being dead. I'm afraid of preaching and not living what I'm preaching. I'm afraid. I went on and on and on. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And crystal clear, the Lord said to me, perfect love casts out all fear. I was expecting, be strong, be courageous, my son, my child. Perfect love. I love you, Brian. I love you when you're preaching. I love you when you're not preaching. Perfect love casts out all fear. You have got to get honest with God. Don't fake it. I hurt. You tell him that. I don't know why. I'm not talking about being irreverent. I'm not talking about being irreverent before God. He is God. Now, if you screamed at him, he can handle that. You repent of it. But I tell you, he's waiting for your honesty. He's waiting for you to confess your anger, your hurt, your brokenness, your depression, your whatever. I am addicted. This is my anguish. Choice number one. But choice number two. This is my anguish, but I will remember. He's lifted his eyes immediately. Remember God. Remember God. That sounds simple. Well, sometimes you need somebody to help remind you to remember. And let me remind you, please, tonight. Our God, remember, our God is sovereign. He's supreme and sovereign. Whatever has happened to you, nothing can happen to a child of God that God does not allow. His hands are not tied. He's not in heaven with a furrowed brow, scratching his head in frustration, wondering. He is sovereign and supreme and in control. And listen, we can make choices that grieve his heart. We can open doors that he did not want us to ever open. We open doors to the enemy to come in and all these things. But whatever it is, he is still supreme and sovereign. And he's so sovereign that he has the power to turn whatever has happened to you into good and for his glory. He has promised such. Romans 8:28, God says, for he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. How he does it, only God can do it. And you may be in a place right now, how will this ever, ever, ever turn out for good? I can tell you, I can't answer that, but I know who can. And I know who will if you will trust him. Remember that our God is sovereign. Our God is supreme. Our God rules. Our God reigns. Our God is totally in control. Where was he when this happened to me? The same place he's always been, ruling and reigning upon his throne. Nothing caught him by surprise. That comforted me in some of the deepest, darkest trials of my life. This hasn't taken you by surprise, God. You are in control. And remember, not only is he sovereign, but he is good. God is good. And he is good all the time. He is good. He's good when it's dark. He's good when it's light. He's good when it's storming. He's good when the sun's shining. He's good. Corrie Ten Boom said, yes, God is good when it stopped raining and we went out to have the Sunday picnic. But God is also good when my sister was in a concentration camp suffering. He was good then too. He is good all the time. He has not changed. Our God does not change. Remember, not only is he sovereign, not only is he good, but he's faithful. He's the same. I, the Lord your God, do not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That should comfort us. He hasn't changed. He never will change. He is faithful. And what he promised to do, he will do. He cannot lie. He never breaks a promise. He never breaks his word. He never has to apologize. He never has to say, oops. He never has to say, I'm sorry. He is faithful and true. And you can remember that. Praise the Lord and praise him for it. He is sovereign. He is good. He is faithful. And remember this. You who hurt so deeply, you who have suffered such loss, you who have suffered such betrayal, remember this. Not only is our God sovereign, but our God chose to suffer. Think of that. He chose to suffer. We do not have a God who cannot sympathize with us in our weaknesses, the Bible says. We have a God who took on flesh and blood. Every single thing you've ever gone through, you've suffered loss. The Father knows what that's like. You've seen your child hurt. The Father knows what that's like. You've been betrayed, misunderstood, insulted. Jesus knows what that's all about. Far more than we can. And he chose to suffer. He chose to embrace the suffering. He knows. He weeps with those who weep. He is Savior. He is the Savior who suffered for you. Mighty to save. Someone says, you know, again, I brought this wound on myself. This is not something anybody else did. I am blaming myself for this. Can I tell you the good news tonight? He is Savior. Remember that Jesus Christ is mighty to save. He's mighty to save even you. And listen to what he says. How clean you can be tonight. If you're here tonight blackened with sin, weighed down with guilt and shame and past regret, listen to the word of God. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Hallelujah. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Clean, forgiven, free, pure, justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus can do and will do and did do for a lady that I think of here. 22 years old. Many, many years ago in the early part of the Civil War, on a cold, dark, snowy winter night, lying in a hospital bed in Cincinnati, Ohio, was a 22-year-old prostitute dying of disease. 22-year-old prostitute. Snow falling outside through the window, she sees it. Had been lying in that bed for many days when someone told her about Jesus. And just before she died, she was gloriously saved. And this was a smart, smart young woman. And after she was saved, she wrote a poem. And after she died, they were cleaning her room. She had no family per se, but the nurses were cleaning her room. And they were putting her belongings together. And they came across this poem that she had written with her own hand. It's a bruised reed revived. Listen. Once I was pure as the snow, but I fell. Fell like the snowflakes from heaven to hell. Fell to be trampled as filth on the street. Fell to be scoffed, to be spit on and beat. Pleading, cursing, dreading to die. Selling my soul to whoever would buy. Dealing in shame for a morsel of bread. Hating the living and fearing the dead. Merciful God, have I fallen so low? And yet I was once like the beautiful snow. Once I was fair as the beautiful snow, with an eye like a crystal, a heart like its glow. Once I was loved for my innocent grace, flattered and sought for the charms of my face. Fathers, mothers, sisters all, God and myself have I lost by my fall. The veriest wretch that goes shivering by will make a wide sweep, lest I wander too nigh. For all that in, on, or above me I know, there is nothing so pure as the beautiful snow. Helpless and foul as the trampled snow, sinner, despair not, Christ stoops low to rescue the soul that is lost in sin and raise it to life and enjoyment again. Groaning, bleeding, dying for thee, the crucified hung on a cursed tree. His accent of mercy fell soft on thine ear. Is there mercy for me? Will he heed my weak prayer? O God, in the stream that for sinners did flow, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's our God. That's our God. Did you know this? Our God is so great and so mighty to save that He actually takes the bruised reeds and makes the most beautiful music. He takes the bruised reeds and makes the most beautiful praise. When a man goes to make an instrument, he needs to have a reed. He goes and finds the good, strong, proud, tall, pretty reed, and he makes his music. God makes more beautiful music. And He does so with the bruised reed, with the broken. When I say that, I think of Jimmy McDaniels. Jimmy McDaniels, several years ago when I was pastoring in Boise City, the Lord put on our hearts to become a praying church. And there was a little band of people that began to pray. I mean, pray and intercede. And we prayed, God, do what only can be explained by You. Do what only God can do. And God began to move. And we could tell so many stories, but here's one of them. The church is praying fervently for radical conversions. One day, I went to the church and I went down into the basement to pray. And I hadn't been there maybe 15 minutes on my knees. And the Spirit of God prompted me in my heart and spirit, go up. I went upstairs. As I went upstairs, I opened the door. And this woman is literally, as I open the door, she steps out of her car, bent over like this, 40-something years old, darkness all over her, despair. What I didn't know, while I was down there praying, the phone rang in the church office, and my secretary answered it, and it was Jimmy. And Jimmy said, I need help. I'm going to commit suicide. She had attempted suicide many times. She had been in the hospital one time, almost died, and they recovered. She recovered. The doctors recovered her. God recovered her. She was about to pull the trigger. She was lying on the bed. She had heard of Jesus when she was little, and she knew Jesus, because at this point she was practicing witchcraft. She knew the powers of darkness. She knew light. And she hated the light. She's on her bed. She said just to the side was a phone book. She's going to commit suicide. She's in such darkness and despair. She says, "All right, Jesus, if you're more powerful and you're who I've heard you were, help me." She opened the phone book just one time. She said she just one time opened it like that. And the yellow pages, First Baptist Church, Boise City, phone number. She called that number. My secretary said, "Come up here immediately." As she's stepping out of the car, I'm coming out the door. I said, "Ma'am, are you?" She was in such despair and physically, she looked like someone that could just fall over right there. "Are you okay?" "No." "Come in." Long story short, she told me what she was in. She told me what she was involved in. She told me what she was going to do, what she had done in the past. I told her about Jesus, our mighty, mighty Savior, mighty to save. Jimmy McDaniels cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed his name, cried out, and was saved right there before my eyes. Gloriously saved. Now, I said to her, "Jimmy, you've told me all this that you're in. I feel led to share this with you. I read from the book of Acts in Ephesus after these great conversions. The Apostle Paul said, 'Bring out all your garbage, everything that's an abomination to God, bad books, bad magic, all this stuff.' Piled it up and they burned it. They had a big bonfire. I said, 'How serious are you about following Jesus?' 'I want to. I'm ready. Are you willing for us to clean your house? Are you willing to go through your house and clean it out?' She said, 'Yes.' I got on the phone, called Lena Alexander, 80-something-year-old prayer warrior. I depended on her a lot. And I said, 'Lena, sister, can you come and help me? I have something. I need you to go with me.' 'Yes, I'll be right there.' She comes. We go to Jimmy's house together. We walk in. Every window is covered with black plastic. We go in this room and there is a wooden altar with knives. This is demonic witchcraft. And there is an anger, a righteous anger rising up within me. Lena, she and I begin to pray. Out loud, we begin to pray through this house. Jimmy is throwing things in we had big black garbage bags, filled up about 3 or 4 of them. Put them in the back of my truck. Went through every single room. Literally, God would show us there's something still here you need to get rid of. And she would find something and take it. And we'd feel there's peace. And we'd go to a next room and pray. Cleaned out every single room. Had a big pile of junk and books and knives and wooden altar and candles and all this stuff in the back of my truck. And Jimmy McDaniels just falls on her knees. And Lena and I went over and put our hands on her and we start praying. And she's crying and she's saying, "Jesus, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." Crying out to him, she runs out from under my hands. She runs to the window. She rips the black plastic off the windows. The light comes in the window. She falls on her knees again and the sun's shining on her. She says, "I've hated the light. I've hated the light. When I was a little girl, I loved the light. I've hated the light. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry." Ripping off black plastic off every window. We went out in the country. We doused all that stuff with gasoline. It went up in flames. We let out a praise to God, singing praises to God. All three of us praising the Lord. Jimmy McDaniels had not had a job in years. Jimmy McDaniels went to the local grocery store and they hired her. This is honest truth. I would go to that grocery store sometimes. She had no idea I was walking in. I would go in and walk down aisles and I would hear 3 or 4 aisles away this woman singing praise songs to Jesus out loud as she's stocking shelves. She is changed. God makes His most beautiful music, His most beautiful praise out of the most broken, bruised reeds and smoking flax. Praise His name. I left Boise City. Years later, I get a phone call after I moved to Barnsdall. She said, "Brother Brian?" I said, "Yes." She said, "This is Jimmy." I said, "Jimmy." She said, "I just want to tell you, I just got married." "You got married?" "Yeah, to a godly man." He's a godly man too. Praise God. She said, we moved to Colorado. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you what we're doing. What are you doing? She said, we go out once a week to McDonald's and we buy all the Happy Meals that we can afford. And we take all those Happy Meals and we go up and down the streets of Denver and we hand out the Happy Meals to the homeless and we tell them about Jesus. This was a witch. This was a woman who was steeped in demonic witchcraft. Can God do that? He can do that. Can you imagine how Mary Magdalene sings right now? Mary Magdalene, who was a demon-possessed woman, who Jesus cast out, what was it, Brother Barry, 7 demons or more out of? Can you imagine how she sings and praises the Lord? God takes the bruised reeds and makes the most beautiful praise. The first woman to see Jesus after He rose from the dead was who? Mary! That's our God! That's our God. That's the one who heals the brokenhearted, who sets the captives free, who blows on that smoldering wick and it goes into flame. That's Him. But you've got to be honest, choice number one. Choice number two, you've got to remember who He is. Remember who He is tonight, but it can't stop there. If you only remember who He is and stop there, You go nowhere, because He said, I remembered God and was troubled. You can remember God and just become more troubled. There's one more choice you have to make. One more choice you have to make. You must choose to offer up the sacrifice of praise to our God. That is what the Bible says. Let us offer up the sacrifice of praise. It's called a sacrifice of praise because you don't feel like doing it. And it's praising God and opening your mouth and thanking Him when you do not feel like doing it. That's the choice you make. And as you begin to thank the Lord and you begin to praise the Lord, He begins to open your eyes more and more to who He is. And depression is gone. And fear is gone. And unbelief is gone. And heartache and sorrow is gone. As you lift it into praise, praising God with all of your heart. Offer up the sacrifice of praise. November 2005, Thanksgiving, my family and I went on a vacation. I was pastoring again in Boise City. We went on a vacation, November 26th or 5th, I get a phone call. Brother Brian, we have some terrible news. We had a couple who sang in the praise team on this side, Jim and Gayleen, husband and wife. Loved to praise the Lord. Was there every week. Sunday morning. Snowing, cold, iced over roads. And they slide over and hit on with a semi. Both of them. Shoo, to heaven. They left behind 3 children. 2 daughters and a son. Late teenage years. We were so heartbroken. What do you do? What do you say? I came back home to make the funeral arrangements. I met with with Gayleen's mom and dad, the grandparents, and the 3 kids. And I sat down with those 3 kids. And those 3 kids, broken and bruised as they were, said, Brother Brian, we want to sing. What? We want to sing. In mom and dad's funeral. Okay. What do you want to sing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And those 2 girls and their brother stood in that funeral after I preached, or before I preached, and sang, blessed be the name of the Lord. They chose to offer up the sacrifice of praise. You know what God did with them? One of those young girls He took to North Africa as a missionary. The other 2, I'm sure they were serving the Lord when I left. I don't know where they are today. I couldn't remember the date, and I Googled today, and sure enough, the obituary 2005 came up on the internet, and I saw her picture in my heart. Ooh. But I remember where she is. I remember where Jim is. And I remember what those three kids chose to do. They chose to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Will you? Will you choose to do it? Jesus says, come to me. Bruised reeds and smoking flax, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I gave you all those choices. Here's the ultimate choice. I will come to Jesus tonight. That's the choice. How do I come to Him? You can come to an altar. But how do you really come to Him? You come to Jesus by crying out to Him. You call His name. When you call His name, He is there. He is inviting you to come, bruised reeds, and be healed. Do you want your broken heart healed? He's invited you to come. Oh, what will it look like to have bruised reeds revived in this church? A bunch of revived bruised reeds singing the best praises of all. Smoking flax that's burning brightly again. I want to ask all the bruised reeds, if we could start the invitation, the music. I want to ask all the bruised reeds, the brokenhearted, that want healing tonight. I invite you to come to this altar where we're going to pray. I would like to pray over you, and I'm asking you just to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Hear His voice calling and come to Him. All the bruised reeds, please come. Please come. Please come. Today is the day. God never says tomorrow. He never says yesterday. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear His voice, please come. Please come. Jesus, Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Call out to Him. Call His name. Speak His name out loud. The name that is above every other name. The name of Jesus. Jesus. Call out to the Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Please come, Lord. Please come, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon You. We call upon Your name. You are mighty to save. You have already said, Lord, that You've come to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up their wounds, to set the captives free, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Those, Lord God, who are kneeling before You here tonight are expressing their need, expressing their pain, expressing their longing for You, Lord Jesus, to reach out and to heal them. I know that You are more than willing. And I'm asking You now, Lord, even now, to heal every single soul up here before You. Heal their broken hearts. Heal their deepest wounds. Heal their damaged emotions. Heal their damaged soul. Heal their wounded soul. Heal every single one, Lord. The smoking flax that's just barely even smoking, blow on them Your breath of life. Let Your breath of life breathe on them, Lord, tonight. Fan the flame. Thank You, mighty God. Fan the flame tonight. Touch each and every one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your great grace and power. Thank you that those here who are calling on you tonight, Lord, you're going to make the most glorious praise out of, the most glorious music. Once again, they will sing. Once again, they will smile. Once again, they will laugh. Once again, they will praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Revive the brokenhearted, we pray. And I thank you for it. Now, I encourage you folks just to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Begin to praise His name. Begin to sing. When you can't pray, sing. Sing to Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. Glorify Him. As you offer up the sacrifice of praise, He will touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Put on the garments of praise tonight for the spirit of heaviness. Garments of praise. Beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. We praise you. We exalt you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your saving us. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your healing touch. Thank you for restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. The best is yet to come in you. Thank you, mighty God, with what you're going to do with these instruments of revival. Flames of revival fire. Young men, men and women who are now going to pray. Will it be their prayers, Lord? Will it be their prayers that usher in the next great revival and awakening? Fan the flame, Lord. Breathe on us, O breath of God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We exalt you. We love you. We lift up your name on high. We exalt you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Blessed be your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for opening up prison doors. Thank you for pushing back the darkness tonight. Flood our souls with your light, O God, and your life. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We will never be the same. We will never be the same again. I pray. Thank you, and I thank you for it. There will be precious saints that walk out of here tonight changed forever because you touched them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. I just have this song on my heart. We could sing it together. Someone could lead us. Maybe Sister Kathy. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Can we sing it together? He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Let's begin to worship Him singing. Don't hurry at the altar. Please don't hurry at the altar. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Healing. He's the one who has come with healing in His wings, the Bible says. Healing in His wings. He is Lord. He is Lord.
For He is Lord.